You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
You can stay standing for a moment across this place, church. I want to take a moment to pray. I read this week that the national debt, financial debt for our nation has now hit £2.31 trillion. And of course, if you know the way that works, it's going to hit all of our lives in some way, shape, or form. And how many of you know that our hope is not in the Chancellor's budget that's coming out this week? How many of you know that? Let me ask that one more time. How many of you know our hope is not in the Chancellor's budget this week? In the same way that our hope is not in the vaccination plan and rollout plan. Our hope has never been in the government. We pray for the government, but our hope is always in Jesus Christ. So listen, I don't know how many of you need a miracle online right now. I don't know how many of you across this place need a miracle in your finances, but that's what I want to pray for before we get into the Word of God this morning. So come on, lift your hands to heaven across this place. Also online, lift your hands to heaven. Father, we want to thank you that right now we have the opportunity once again to apply faith and our trust in you, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you've brought none of us this far to leave us now, to abandon any of us. Thank you for the miracles that are in store. Thank you for the moment where Sophie was sharing a moment ago around the miraculous associated with finances in honoring you. Thank you, God, that you give us the chance, the opportunity to trust you with our finances. So we invite you in. I pray, give us creative wisdom. Help us to think strategically. I pray, God, that we would not allow anything of this past season to limit and inhibit our dreaming, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing as forceful men and women lay hold of it. So even right now, as we pray into finances, we're believing for a quick turnaround in our economy in the nation. We're believing for incredible jobs to come people's ways. And I pray, Lord, thank you for miracles that are coming in finances, even right now, in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, let's put our hands together and thank God for what he is about to do in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, you can grab a seat. Thanks, band. Thanks, Robbie. Robbie, I love the fact that you're wearing Rupert the Bear trousers up here on stage today. I need to get me some of them, some Rupert trousers. We're in week number six of Galatians. I'm looking for some response, peeps. Are you enjoying the book of Galatians? Awesome. Online, if you're enjoying the book of Galatians, you can put your hands together, emojis, etc., etc. Now, you got to understand that our lives are run and orchestrated, and God is the one with the plan. We don't put our trust in big tech. How many of you know that? Four of you. We don't put our trust in big tech. 3 weeks ago, Instagram decided that they were going to pull down the Instagram handles of 28 churches in Great Britain, and we were one of them. So if you've been looking for Audacious Church online, our Instagram, and haven't found it, it's because someone decided that they were going to pull it down and they're not getting back to us, etc., etc. So today we're going to stick it to the man. I want every single one of you right now, pull out your mobile phone. Can you do that? Go off airplane mode, because I know that diligently every Sunday you go into airplane mode because you're proper Christians. And what I want you to do is this. I want you to sign up to our new Instagram handle right now. It is Audacious Church Online. Audacious Church Online. There it is. We've lost thousands and thousands and thousands of people who were able to reach through that. So why don't you sign up, follow that Audacious Church Online. You get your daily devotions. You get updates on what's happening in the life of church. And we would hate for you to miss out on anything that's going on. And if you do work in the world of Instagram and you can get our original one back, then the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool. Now once you've done that, you can go back into flight mode because you don't want the devil to distract you in these next few moments that we have in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but this lockdown has been, there's been ups and downs, of course, And, you know, just working hard on fitness has been a continual thing. You know, I've seen my weight oscillate two kilograms up and then down and up and down through the whole time. Now, today is Confession Sunday. I figure we're in church, and I figure this is a great place to confess my sins to you all. Is my daughter in the auditorium right now? Is she backstage serving somewhere? If she is, maybe you can just bring her to the edge of the stairs. This is confession time. I did a little bit of an in-between grocery shop, if you know what I mean. You know, just sort of topping up the cupboards. We ran out a little bit of meat, because as you know, we're not vegans or vegetarians in our house. And I went to get some necessary supplies. I think we were out of coconut milk and ice lollies, which my wife is devouring right now, which actually she used to devour when she was pregnant. Is there anything you want to tell us? And while I was there, I thought that what I would do, babe, just come and stand on the top of the stairs there. You can take your mask off as well for a second. This is my daughter, everybody, if you don't know, over here. And Georgia, come over here. This is confession time, right? She honestly doesn't know this. But last week I went shopping and I bought my children a bag of Curly Whirlies each. When I came home, my son was there. I said, oh, son, got you some Curly Whirlies. Here's some for you and here's some for your daughter. He's like, oh, thanks, Dad. For your sister. I said, thanks, Dad. That would be bad. I said, thanks, Dad. And he took his Curly Whirlies. My daughter was busy somewhere, maybe up in the office doing some work. I don't know what she was doing, to be fair. But a little bit later on in the afternoon, I got the early afternoon munchies. I thought, oh, I feel like something sweet. And we don't tend to have much sweet in our house, to be honest. And then I remembered that I'd brought home these Curly Whirlies, and I did something that I promised I would never do ever again. I stole my daughter's chocolate. Sorry, baby. I stole her chocolate. Oh gosh, I gotta tell you, it was amazing as well. It tasted so good. If you've not had Curly Whirlies, you need to go home, friends, and eat some Curly Whirlies. Audacious Church today is sponsored by Curly Whirlies in Jesus' name. But I gotta be honest, I swore on many occasions that, you know what, I'm not gonna get the sweets. I'm not gonna eat anything sweet. I'm definitely not gonna steal from my daughter's chocolate stash again. But oops, I did it. I don't know if you saw, this is a real clip that took place with a weather reporter some years ago. Now I need to let you know, she was okay. She was okay. But I think what I'm talking about and what Galatians is talking about is best shown through this really quick 20-second video clip of this weather reporter. Only an island, eh? I mean, that's a real moment in time, folks. This stop sign out of nowhere, whack. And you know what? I think that in all of our lives, we end up making promises to ourselves of things we won't do. And it's almost like the thing that we promised we wouldn't do comes like a stop sign and whacks us across the head again. And we find ourselves falling back into old ways. Stand with me to your feet. Galatians speaks into this. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read you 7-8 verses. Verse 1 says this, it was for freedom, everyone say freedom.
Freedom.
It was, come on, say freedom.
Freedom.
Come on, say it like you mean it, say freedom.
Freedom.
It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law, which is impossible. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value whatsoever. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Down to verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. We're going to look at that next week. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. This message for week number 6 is called Oops, I Did It Again. Grab a seat all around this place. The Galatian church started really well. They had an epiphany. They had a moment where all of a sudden the love of Jesus Christ came storming into their lives and they became followers of Christ Jesus. And this was a remarkable moment and season. And yet, as we learned in week 1 of this series, there were some people who were saying, you need something more than Jesus. You also need to be circumcised. Now, for the Jew, circumcision was an outward sign of an inward decision, conviction, and commitment that had been made between them and God, God and them. And so what's happening in the Galatian church is that people discovered Jesus. Jesus discovered people. He knew people. They came to faith. And now some people are saying, yeah, but you've also got to do these things. You've also got to do these rules, these regulations. You have to be circumcised. And Paul is writing here and he's saying, no, I want you to understand freedom. Galatians 5 is all about freedom. Let me break it down and help you to understand what freedom means. Number one, freedom understands grace. When you find someone who understands truly the gospel, you'll find someone who is a person of grace. Here's what Paul says, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Now, here's the problem that the church had in Galatia. They preferred rules over relationship. And Paul is incredibly frustrated. He's like, how is it and why is it that we had relationship together, that you discovered newness of relationship in Christ, but now you're going back into rules? Why is it that rules are more important to you than relationship? Now, over the years, many, many people have come into the life of our church, usually from another background, church background or religious background, and have said this, hey, Glenn, what are the rules for being in Audacious Church? What are the rules? Just break it down and tell me, what are the rules for being in the band? What are the rules for being on stage? What are the rules for being a life group leader? What are the rules for doing church? What are the rules? What does it take? What do I have to do in order to be a follower of Jesus in this place? And the reason religious people want rules, now get this, is because it's easier to live like a slave than it is to be free. Now, when I'm talking about slavery, I'm talking about religious slavery. The pressure, the need to do the doing in order to be saved and in order to stay saved. But Paul is writing to help us to understand that religious slavery while it brings with it the sense of self-satisfaction when we've prayed a lot and read a lot and we've fasted a lot and we've done the right things, the other problem with religious slavery is that when we, oops, I did it again, and we stumble back into sinful behavior, then we find that shame and condemnation increases on our life. But freedom understands grace. And what grace teaches is this. Grace teaches that we were never saved by self-effort. It wasn't my doing that saved me. And it doesn't matter how much I do, my doing is not the thing that qualifies me to stand right before God. Grace understands this. I'm not saved by my effort. Grace understands I'm saved by grace through faith. Grace understands Jesus holds me. He's got me. He knows me. He won't leave me. He won't abandon me. He won't forsake me. He is my rock. He is my firm foundation. He is my strong tower. He is the shelter. He is the cornerstone. He is the capstone. He is the beginning. He is the middle. He is the end. Freedom understands grace, and grace gets that. It's not my self-effort. The second thing about freedom is this, is that freedom rejects Jesus plus. The name of the series. Now look at this in verse 2. This is madness. If you let yourself be circumcised, in other words, fall into religious custom and habit and behavior, then Christ will be of no value to you at all. Because we learned in week 1, there were some people saying that it's Jesus plus religious tradition, Jesus plus the church, Jesus plus prayer, Jesus plus fasting, Jesus plus doing the right things, Jesus plus holiness. And people were getting tied up in knots. It's happening in 2021 as well, and it's probably happening in the life of our church. That we start off in relationship with Christ and it's wonderful, but before long someone teaches us, but you need to do this and you need to do this. And Paul is helping us to understand here that there's always going to be some people who are going to tell you that Jesus is not enough. Because if it's Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus prayer, Jesus plus holiness, Jesus plus fasting, then what we're effectively saying is that Jesus alone is not enough for my salvation. And Paul is angry. In fact, in some of the interim verses that we didn't have time to read, he actually says, I wish that those who are teaching circumcise would go all the way and emasculate themselves. He is so angry. He's actually teaching here in Scripture that you can't add to Jesus without subtracting Jesus. So it's all Jesus or all nothing. But the moment we think it's Jesus plus anything else for salvation, we have totally missed the boat. We've totally missed it. When my daughter first drove, she got a test and we jumped in her car, and it was the first time I'd been in the car with her, and we went to Didsbury for brunch. Remember brunch back when we could do those things? Went out for brunch, a restaurant, and my daughter's driving, right? She was my baby 2 seconds ago. Now she's driving a car. And involuntarily while she's driving, I kept wanting to accelerate and brake and grab onto the steering wheel, but she had it the whole time. Religion is trying to grab hold of the steering wheel. Religion is you being in the passenger seat where really salvation is Jesus is driving the vehicle called salvation. He is driving you into eternity. You are just the passenger. You have nothing to do except John 10:10. I've come that you might have life and life to the full in order to be saved. But what religion does is religion is trying to accelerate and brake and grab the steering wheel. Oops, I did it again. And Paul's going, guys, don't do that. Let go of the steering wheel. God's got you. He's got you. He's got you the whole way. He's got you. And I want to say this, if you can trust him with salvation, then you can trust him during this COVID-19 pandemic. If you can trust him with eternity, you can trust him with your tithe. If you can trust him with your forever after, you can trust him with your spouse and your health and your children and your relationships and your career and the journey that you're on in life. If you can trust him with all of eternity, then it is madness to try and grab the steering wheel now. That's what Paul's saying. Third thing about freedom is this. He's saying freedom is an action. It's an action. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. It's an action. Christ has set you free. So it's Christ's act on the cross of freeing us that he then invites us into the journey of living out our freedom. Freedom is an action. I love this. Look at verse 13. He says here, hey, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So freedom in Christ is not freedom for you to live how you want and do whatever you want with, inverted commas, cheap grace, to belittle the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Oh, it's okay. I'm just going to sin. It'll be all right. No. Freedom understands that freedom is an action. I'm free. Now I've got to live out my freedom. I've got to live out the freedom that Jesus Christ won for me on the cross. When Sophie and I got married, I soon realized I couldn't live like a single man anymore. I had to change. I had to put the toilet seat down. Come on, ladies, I'm preaching the gospel right now. I had to put the toilet seat down. I had to pick up my own socks. Now, the thing that changed me was not fear of this Latin American crazy woman I'd married. The thing that changed me was love. Love made me change. Something happens, friends, when you receive the freedom in Christ. The thing that causes you to change your habits, the thing that causes you to change elements of sexuality, the thing that causes you to change elements of what you do is not a fear of God in a bad sense. It's actually love. What Christ does is he puts in you a new heart. And when you get a new heart, I'm a new creation, then change is easy. Because change is not reliant on my ability to grin and bear it and Zig Ziglar, thank you for all your coaching, etc. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is I got a new heart. I respond to the freedom in Christ. I love you. Therefore, toilet seat down. Therefore, socks get picked up. Because it's not fear that's driving us, it's love in Jesus' name. So, three things. Freedom understands grace. Freedom rejects Jesus plus. Freedom is an action. The fourth thing is this, is that freedom is a place. It's a place. He says here, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. The aorist tense of the Greek here, I want you to see two things that about freedom, that it's both a verb and it's a noun. It's an action and it's a place. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. It's actually something that we can have right now. So non-religious people don't know where they're going to end up. Religious people are anxious about where they're going to end up. But Jesus people have certainty about where we're going to end up. It's a place. But it's not a far off place, friends. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free now. Everyone, take a deep breath for a second through your masks. You're free now. And Paul is saying, why are you tying yourself up in knots with religious behavior, trying to once again earn your way to salvation? No, the reason we change our behavior is because of love, because of a new heart. But friend, I want you to know that freedom is a place now. Paul wants you to see that you can experience this freedom today in Jesus' name. The fifth thing about freedom as we close is this, is recognize that freedom doesn't come cheap. Do you ever have a bad day? Give me a wave if you have a bad day. 40% of you, 50%, 60%. Everyone online, all their hands are going up. Yep, we all have a bad day. Do you know your pastor has a bad day now and again too? I had a bad day one Sunday. A guy who'd been in our church about 10 years came up to me after the service and he was really annoyed. He was annoyed that every Sunday we talk about faith for finances in that tithe moment. You know, why do you always talk about money in this church? I'm like, no. He said, why do you always emphasize money? I'm like, what are you talking about? We emphasize everything we do. We emphasize cleanliness. That's why the teams are here early. We emphasize cleanliness. That's why Pastor Dave Adams, who's in his 70s this morning, had a yellow jacket on and was in the back car park picking up rubbish. We emphasize excellence. That's why all the teams work hard, taking their own vocal and music lessons. We emphasize hospitality. That's why when COVID's open, the coffee bar's open, we do food and we emphasize fun. I said, my question is, why do you emphasize money? He said this, he said, I've been coming for 10 years and I am never gonna give money. I'm never gonna tithe. I'm never gonna do it. So I said, listen, that's fine. Now understand, I was having a bad day. So forgive me. I said, that's fine. You don't have to tithe. I don't know who gives anyway. I don't know who's giving and who's not. It's got nothing to do with me. It's you and God. I said, but if you're not gonna put anything in the offering, then next week when you come to church, bring your own chair. Bring your own toilet paper. Bring your own heating system. Bring your own electricity generator. Because what you're getting for free, someone else paid for. Come on, that's profound, isn't it? Forgive me, Father, for my bad attitude in that moment. Just because it's free to you doesn't mean it was free. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, he says, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Even our Messiah, Jesus, on the cross with those who'd taken the perfect Holy One and they beat him and they plucked his beard and they left him to die on a cross, suffocating because he couldn't breathe, with open wounds and gangrene. He even said this on the cross. He says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Oh, church, let's not use our freedom to tie people up in religious knots. Let's not take the freedom that Christ won for us and now tie ourselves up in knots with self-effort, feeling like we've got to do more in order to be saved. You know, tomorrow as a church, we go into a month of prayer and fasting. How good is this? I'm not doing it in order to earn favor. I'm his son. You're his son. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. You walk in the blessing and favor of God. He watches over your coming and going. The Bible says, I'm blessed in the fields and I'm blessed in the street and I'm blessed in the home and I'm blessed in the restaurant and I'm blessed everywhere. No, the reason that we fast is to say, hey God, there are breakthroughs, there are things we're believing about and we're so believing of this. We're not twisting your arm, but God, we're preparing our hearts. Fasting's more about me. Me recognizing what I can live without. George's curly whirlies. Gosh, how good is this? It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Let's not get caught up in knots over the rules and regulations. We only have two rules in our church. The two rules are this: no tambourines and no flags in worship. That's it. Some nervous applause. It's like, really? Yeah, really. But just freedom. Now all my lifestyle changes are because of the new heart and because of love. Oops, I did it again. I keep going back into my old ways. I keep going back into religious tradition. I keep going back into thinking, if I don't read the Bible today, then God's going to be mad with me. If I don't pray enough, then I'm not reaching God's holy standard. And Paul's saying, Glenn, don't do that. This is not rules over relationship. This is relationship over rules. And that's why he said that all the rules are fulfilled with love one another. Because, get this, love is not God. God is love. And there is a big difference. Freedom in Christ. And so what we do to those who tell us they have a deeper truth and a better understanding of God and what we should do, who try to tie us up in knots and say, you need to do more, what we do is we take a step back, take a deep breath and reply, and now may grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father God be with you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.